Yeah. All right, welcome everyone. Good to see you. Good morning. Good morning. You can go ahead and keep eating. Looking forward to, we always look forward to this gathering. It's just great to have you all. And just to recap from last week, or last month, that I think our heart for this gathering and getting you guys together, it's really, we felt like we wanted to share and kind of impart and help process together the DNA and the heart, the DNA of Catalyst. We all see each of you as very significant people, next generation leaders. And so, and we really, the elders really felt in our times with the Lord, people are discussing that it's really important to share and talk about and process together what the kind of the heart, the DNA, the kind of core of Catalyst is all about. And as we went through that process, what really became clear to us as we prayed and then looked through the history of Catalyst and us as leaders and myself as the lead pastor, it really became apparent that the Father's heart is really the core of Catalyst. It's, we feel like God has gifted and anointed us to carry the Father's heart. And it's interesting because that's been manifest in others outside of our church that have visited over the years, missionaries, pastors, different people, leaders outside of our church, and a number of them have asked, can you adopt us, you know, just as a church family, and which we have, several of them we have, and it's because, you know, as old as we get, there's still a part of us that I think longs for the Father's heart. And so as we kind of pray, discuss what this would be about, we thought we want to focus on the Father's heart, and we felt the way to do that would be to each session take one of the values of our church. Because really the values are really the expression of how we see and want to see ministry done, how we feel like the Lord has called us to do ministry. It's out of these values. And as we looked more closely at the values, we realized, you know, a lot of these are just different aspects, different facets, different expressions of the Father's heart. And so right there before you, the sheet I passed out, and Ross passed out another sheet, but one of the sheets has the values on there. And then we have seven values. So it's God's presence. We recognize, pursue, and enjoy God's presence by knowing Him, loving Him, and receiving all He has for us. And then family. I don't think I'm going to read all of them. You can read them on your own. But family, freedom, God's truth, which is the Word, transformation, uniqueness, and Holy Spirit led. And so each time we meet, we're going to go over one of the values. And today, we're going to focus on the value of God's presence. What does that mean? What are we talking about? And really, it's to take a little bit of a deeper dive into God's presence, because we want to continue to grow in experiencing of the presence of God. Right? So I'm kind of leading this next section and talking about God's presence and as to explore that value. Pastor Ross is going to come up and share about that. Okay? Now let me open with a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much. Thank you for your heart for us that was expressed and displayed by you and your willingness to send your only begotten Son, Jesus, for us. I know 1 John says, this is love, not that we loved you, but that you loved us and sent your Son to be the atoning sacrifice of our sin. And really, in a nutshell, that just expresses your heart for us. And Lord, I know you want us to know you, not just in name as Father, but personally, intimately, and to know you and experience you as a good Father. So thank you so much. I just feel like you're excited for today because you want us to experience your presence in a deeper way. So thanks so much for our time. Thanks for all those that have come and gathered And just bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Thanks, Barry.
I just really appreciate these times that we get to think about and share and even go back into what has kind of transpired over the last 16 years that Catalyst has been around. And one thing that I remember is when Barry first asked me if I'd be willing, if I felt called to go and plant Catalyst. And so I was kind of, okay, yeah, I'm open to it. What are some things that we're thinking about doing? Like, is it just going to be Cerritos Baptist 2.0 somewhere else, or is it going to be different? And one thing that he mentioned that was going to be different is we wanted to learn more about the Holy Spirit. And so since that beginning, we've pursued, what is the presence of the Lord? What is God? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it mean to pursue the Holy Spirit, to learn more about the Holy Spirit and experience God's presence? And so since that day, we've pursued it. It's in our values. I think it's the first, is it the first one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first one. And we want to experience more and more of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, I think we all know that once you become a Christian, the Spirit comes, you have the Spirit living in you, Christ in us and us in Christ. But what does that look like on a daily level? What does that look like to experience Christ in me, or to be connected with the Spirit so deeply that we experience Him every day? Because I think a lot of times we can be so flippant about that understanding of Christ in me. It's like, okay, yeah, that's good. I'll just go on with the rest of my day. Versus, Lord, what does that mean? What does that actually mean? Does that mean that you actually want to be part of my life in what I'm doing every single day? That you want to speak to me, you want to draw near to me, you want to lead me, you want to guide me, you want to speak to me on a daily level? And I think for a lot of us, it can be the same where we just go, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church on Sundays, I go to small group, the rest of the day, the rest of the week is mine. I just do whatever I want to do. And I think as we read the Bible and as we see more and more about what Jesus says, it's not like that, right? When we read the Gospels, it's not like, yeah, you just go, you take Jesus as your Lord, well, for us, as your Lord and Savior, and then you just go do your own thing. It's like He wants to show us His kingdom. He wants us to experience His presence every single day, that we can go to Him, hear His voice. That when we're going through troubles or when we need some help, that He leads us and guides us in that way. And so that's what we want to do with our church, with Catalyst. We want people to experience the presence. We want our people to engage with Him on a daily basis. You know, I don't know if you guys were here. Was it last week? Yeah. So if you were here for the second worship set, I was leading, and Barry was playing the djembe, and we could sense, I think, yeah, you, I mean, the weeks are getting long. I'm like, was that last week? That we sensed the Spirit moving in one of the songs. And it was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. God, you're doing something. I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something. You're moving in the congregation. And I could tell, I could hear Barry, he's playing, and I could hear him like saying some things. I'm going, oh, not even looking, I'm going, oh, he's sensing it too. And it was just like this amazing time where we just interacted with the Lord. And I don't know if you guys were there or if you guys experienced it, but it was in that third song where the Spirit was just kind of moving. And it's like, yes, Lord, that's what we want. That's what we want. We want to experience. It's not just about religion or about doing the right things, but it's about having this interaction with God. That's what we're looking for. And so in all, a lot of different ways that we've pursued the Lord and tried to give Him space to do things, we've experienced Him in the service. We've experienced Him in small groups. We've experienced Him in prayer meetings. We've experienced Him on the mission field. I remember the mission field, we're just walking and then feel the presence come.
And then all of a sudden, this other spirit comes. And then we're like, oh, shoot. And then these Buddhist monks come walking by. And we're like, oh, okay. But we were getting to that level of being able to experience different aspects of the Holy Spirit, but also be able to discern other spirits as well. But we want to continue going to gatherings. Gatherings are awesome places where you just sense the spirit moving in thousands of Chinese and different people at these meetings that we're put on. And so that's what we want to go through. That's what we want to experience. That's what we want to engage the Lord in. You know, there's a testimony of this. I want to illustrate this a little bit better. I remember when we were at, before we planted Catalyst, we were at Cerritos, and I was just feeling burnt out at Cerritos. Just, you know, kind of in small groups, serving, did all these different things with ministry, and just feeling like nothing was, I was leading worship, which I felt like, oh, that's my passion. And I remember I had a conversation with Barry, and I was asking him, you ever feel like living waters are flowing out of you? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, can you share with me? Because I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling living waters. I'm feeling like every day is this drudge. And what I give up to the Lord, it's almost like he's taking out like an eyedropper and just giving me a little bit of his presence. But I'm trying to give him everything, and this little drop's coming down. And so he said, okay, you know, try this. So he gave me some advice, but then he said, try this. When you have your quiet times, just ask the Lord, how do you see me? So, okay. So go back home and do my quiet time, read the word, and then, okay, Lord, we'll spend some time. Just, how do you see me? Nothing. So, okay, well, That's okay. Maybe he has nothing to say today, so that's okay. So next day, same thing, read the word, ask him, how do you see me? Nothing. So for about 2 weeks, this went on, and I was just like, wow. This is lame exercise, Barry. Okay, so then I was getting frustrated. So I go, okay, well, Lord, you know what? I don't think I'm even going to read today. I'm just going to ask you. So sat there and asked him, how do you see me? Nothing. So, okay, well, I'm just going to go the rest of my day then. So I did that for a few days. So I think it was like on the third day of just asking him. It's like, okay, I'm not getting anything. Yeah, typical for the course. Okay. So I just sat there for a little bit. All of a sudden, I got the word excited. And I was like, okay, I know that's not me, because I am not excited to be here. And he said, don't you know that I'm excited to meet with you? And when I heard those words in my heart, it wasn't audible, but in my heart, I was like, oh my gosh. And then his presence came. And then I was sitting down on the floor, and it's like his presence came, and he just gave me this huge hug. And I was weeping and crying and just repenting and just feeling so overwhelmed by his presence. And I, you know, it's interesting because as I look back now, I thought that it was that I wanted to hear his voice, which I did. But really what I was looking for was his presence. To feel his presence, to feel like he saw me, to feel like He hears me, and he wants to converse with me. And I tell you, since that day, this was probably 2005 or so, that it has completely changed the way I interact with him. And my expectations, or what I expect from, I don't know if that's the right word, but I don't go in going, okay, he's not going to say anything anymore. But it's like, oh, if he wants to speak, he's going to speak. And he's going to speak through whatever different way, through the Bible or through his word, or to different things, but he's going to speak. So I kind of come with this expectancy of God interacting with me. And a big part of it was because of his presence I came. So actually, I want to, for a few minutes, I just want to hear from you guys some of your experiences with the presence of the Lord. What were some opportunities or times that you had with him that was just, yeah, amazing or maybe not amazing, but but you just sensed that it was the Lord's presence with you?
It's just like in worship, you know, like I really feel his presence come down, and then like, I guess like just in day-to-day life, if I'm like living like in a, like in worship and like connecting with him, like he speaks to me to like speak to other people, to like give people like the right words to say, or like connect with people, and like they'll come back and say, I've like never told anyone this, but it's like really easy to talk to you. But I just feel like it's not me, it's like just like his heart for other people.
Wow, that's awesome. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, it's really cool. Like you're talking about worship, and we've had people in the past, they come up to us and they say, I don't know what it is about this church, but every time I come, I cry. And it's like, well, when are you crying? Is it is it during the message? And they're like, no, it's during the worship time. Like, oh, okay. But they're like, yeah, I come in, I'm not feeling sad, I'm not feeling happy, I'm just kind of, okay, just, we're here at church. And then as the worship goes, they just start crying. And they can't help it. And we're like, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit kind of coming and moving on you, and your body just reacting to him. And so yeah, a lot of people have that. And yeah, it's awesome. And I hear those experiences.
We had friends who said they didn't want to come to Catalyst anymore because they were tired of crying every Sunday.
You can leave after the message.
So that happens to me too. I cry often, but one time it was like the middle of the week and I was on my way home. And we shared this story somewhere. This is just like a small aspect from within the story. I was on my way home. It was going to be the first time I was going to see my family this day. And
It ends well. It's on the Catalyst podcast.
So on my way home, I was listening to worship music, and whatever song was on, it hit me, and the Holy Spirit just wrecked me, like middle of driving. I mean, I just felt so like you said, like seen, known, blessed, like thinking about the things, the struggles that I went through with like the passing of my parents, and then getting through that, and just how blessed my family was. As a father, everything. Like, I was just feeling like so loved. I was weeping while I was driving, out of the blue, right? And I get home, and I'm like, oh, that's great. That feels great.
But you think you were set up? Like, he set you up because you were going to go. You're going to walk into the wars.
So I'm getting there.
There you go faster.
So you talk about like running into the evil spirits. Well, okay, so yeah, I got in the house.
Okay,
and then she was talking to me, and I was like, I could just see, like, ooh. But essentially, yeah, she cussed out Christian, and they just
They had it out.
They're very similar personalities, and they had it out. But like Trish was saying, it was like God, his hand was in it all, and he set me up to say that I'm there with you to take care of you and your family. Because had I not had that moment before, I could almost guarantee you I wouldn't have handled it the way that I did that day.
Yeah, yeah.
If it wasn't for that moment right before.
And he had to be brave and tell me to go for a walk, which that I give you, my gosh. My fist could have came real, like, at you.
Because
I went for a walk.
I've suggested that before.
Yeah. And did it end well.
Never worked. But God was there.
Yeah,
and right. Spoke to her too and said, go for a walk. And then,
Like later.
Wow, thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Wow, very cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. Thank you. Anybody else have a story? An experience?
I can go. I think usually it's like, in my dreams, usually. Since 5 years ago, when I started going to Cal, that's when I started getting these, I guess, dreams more, like really vivid dreams. And I think when things were going really well, like I was feeling closer to the Holy Spirit or something well with my family, work, or school, then like, I feel like the enemy would try and do something, either put these like really, you know, bad images, I guess, in my dreams and everything. And there's been like probably four times now where I have to like pray during the dream, because like in my dreams I can kind of do whatever I want. So I can, and it feels really real. Like, it doesn't feel like I'm in a dream. It actually feels like I can, like it's completely real. And I can pray in the dream that when he is fighting these gross looking things or whatever, I just feel really at peace with it. When I wake up, I feel fine. So it used to be really scary before. Now it's kind of like, oh, like I can just pray about it. It'll give me like a really good sense of peace there.
It'd be interesting to, as we unpack more and more about what you're going through and the giving that God is. Okay. Well, I'm sure there are more stories that will come out eventually at some point, but let's kind of move on. These are some ways that, some things, how he impacts our lives with his presence. So I just came up with five things. We experience intimacy in his presence, Psalm 139, 1 through 6. In his presence is our strength and our help. And especially in times of fearful challenges. That's Isaiah 41:10. His presence is our joy, Psalm 16:11. His presence gives us rest, Matthew 11:28-30. His presence helps us to live righteously and make good choices, Romans 8:5-7. And this other one, I was talking to Henry about it. I don't have it on here, but his presence helps us evangelize. In Exodus 33, where Moses was saying, if your presence doesn't go with us, how are people going to distinguish us from everyone else? And it's like his presence helps us, helps other people see the Lord working in us. So these are just a few ways that his presence impacts our lives. You know, it was interesting this past week, I think it was this past week, I was having a little bit of a disagreement with another person, and I came home and I was telling Ida about what had happened, and I was just complaining, oh, he's doing this and this and this and this will happen, this will happen, and I was just complaining, just kind of unloading on her. And then in the middle of that complaining, the Lord said, stop. And I went, oh, okay. And then he said, I want you to pray for that person. And I was like, I don't feel like praying for them right now, you know? Okay. So I started praying, and it was out of my head. I was just praying, you know, like, okay, you know. And then I was like, okay, don't pray, you know, like, okay, help them to see they're wrong. Help them to see that I'm right. No, it was like, bless them. I want you to bless them. So I was like, okay, Lord, I just want you to bless this person and what they're doing and what they're seeing, and bless their family and protect them. And it was interesting because as I was stepping into that obedience, his presence came. And I started just crying for that person, wanting so much of God's blessing and favor on that person. And it was just amazing how God's presence just shifted the atmosphere and with me. And it was funny because I was complaining and I started praying and I told Ida, I'm gonna pray for that person. And she started laughing. And then I started praying and then she started laughing more. And then I, as I kept praying, she just kept laughing. And I was like, yeah, stop laughing, I'm being serious. You know? The Lord is on me right now, he's doing stuff. And I had to leave the room because she was just cracking up and maybe see the dichotomy of what I was doing. But I felt when I stepped into that, I could feel my heart changing and the Lord just shifting everything. So. That's what the Lord can do for us as we step in and are obedient. Now, how do we experience his presence? How can we experience his presence? So James 4, 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So really, when we open our hearts to the Lord, when we invite him in, when we say, hey, Lord, I come, Holy Spirit, come. I think that's what they say at Alpha, what's that guy's name? The guy who leads Alpha.
Nikki Gumbo.
We just saw a video on him. They say, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Invite him in. And I think as we do that, as we invite him in, as we draw near and open our hearts to him, he comes. He is faithful and good to respond to our desires for him. And so here's a couple things that we can do. Turn our focus and our affection to the Lord. Turn our hearts, turn our focus and our affection to him. So I've done this in worship where there are times when I'm just, you know, even when I'm leading, there are times when I'm like, yeah, I'm not feeling it. And it's like, Lord, this is for you right now. Well, actually, I'm speaking more to myself. This is for the Lord right now. And so turn your affection to him. Focus on Jesus. And just tell him how much you love him. Just tell him. So I'm singing. I mean, whatever. But in my head, I'm going, Lord, I just love you, Jesus. I just love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you for your sacrifice. And as I turn my affections again, things start changing. And the Spirit comes and he moves. And then I can really engage with worship. And my time leading, or even in the congregation at times. But turn our focus and our affection to the Lord. Number two is read the Bible with the Lord's character in mind, his character in mind. And what I've been doing is goodness, faithfulness, and love. Those characteristics have been kind of dominating my times when I read with them. That when I'm reading, I'm going, how can I see his goodness, his faithfulness, his love? And where is this coming from? Where? And man, I tell you, again, the Holy Spirit comes and speaks. And it's just, yeah. So, where are we? When was I supposed to finish? I can't remember. Okay. Well, actually.
You want that?
That's okay.
Something interesting to share.
Yeah.
So the first verse here, it's kind of cool because yesterday, so when I usually do weeding and going to the yard once a week, and I use my iPod photo from middle school to listen to music. So it has 1,206 songs on it, and it's Christian. There's rap music I used to listen to, Disney songs, and I put it on Shuffle, and I'll just listen to random stuff. And this song came up, it's called Known by Audrey Assad. I saw her in concert in seventh grade before Francis Chan message our church took us to, and I was too nervous to take a picture with her because I thought she'd look pretty. but I bought her CD and I used to listen to a lot, but there's a song called Known that came up on my iPod, and yesterday it made me really feel like I was in his presence, I guess, and that was after listening to like some hardcore rap music that I actually came on. So Milne came on, and there's this part in it that I really like. I'm not gonna say, I'm just gonna say it. But it says, I'll just say it. But it says, from the fall of my heart to the resurrection of my soul, you know me, God, and you know my ways. In my risings and all my sitting downs, you see me as I am. And the song, it's called Known, so if you guys want to listen to it, I think it's really good, but it's just cool that this was the first one that, and that's the only song that stood out yesterday, not all the other stuff.
Thanks, Dan. I want to listen to that song. Known. Okay. Let me turn over to Henry. I think he's going to share about some blocks.
So like Barry was saying, one of the part of why we're sharing with you is because these were the foundations in which Catalyst was established by the Lord. Every church is His church, and we're all part of one body globally, but each church has their own calling. We all believe the same thing. The body of Christ should believe in the same thing, right? Trinity, Godhead, salvation, Jesus Christ died for sins. Those, there's probably five or six things that are really critical. But outside of that, each church kind of has its own unique niche, its own unique calling. Some churches are really strong with the word, you know, great teachers, and they're out there. Some churches are really good with helps and with poverty. And our church is really great at healing and wholeness. It's just a place for people who are broken, people who have experienced a lot of hurts in their life. I love Barry's vision when I first talked to him about it. He's like, you know, there's not a lot of Asian American churches out there who are willing to talk about the issues that really hurt us growing up. As Asian Americans, we're expected to kind of just sweep it under the rug, swallow your bitterness and just move on, and you cover it with academics, you cover it with career, you cover it with the things that you have, right? And so on the outside you show how great your life is, but on the inside there's stuff going on that's never been dealt with. And so that's why I think when people come to Catalyst, they can really feel the Spirit of the Lord in His presence wanting to deal with those issues, so that we can have fullness in Christ. Fullness and live that full life with the Lord that He's always wanted for us in Him. And we don't have to wait. This phrase kind of bugs me. Sometimes people go, oh yeah, that's just how it is on Earth. We'll just have to wait on the other side to experience the fullness. So I go, yeah, the other side's going to be way better. But you don't have to wait to experience some of that goodness now. Right?
Yeah.
It's as if their life is so bitter and so suffering. I'm not saying my life is roses every day. It's not. Right? I homeschool my kids, so it's got its things, right? But what I discovered was that there are just some blocks or hindrances to people really being able to fully sense the presence of the Lord and experience His full goodness. So I just wanted to share some of those with you, and then highlight maybe one area that I particularly went through, and maybe some of you went through too, particularly being of an Asian background or a Hispanic background. It's kind of similar.
Dutch.
So. The Dutch, they got it dialed in, they're good. So the four blocks that I've seen, the first is unforgiveness. A lot of that comes from hurts that we've had in the past. A lot of that comes from things that we've experienced and not being able to process. And then we just kind of carry that. When we carry it, just kind of like this weight or this load. And Jesus is very clear about forgiveness. In fact, our salvation is based on His love and His forgiveness that we don't deserve. So I just love that, how what He did for us, He's now like, go model that out. Because that is the key to living a peaceful life, and that is a key to experiencing my presence. The second one is my flesh. My flesh. I just, it's a daily battle, right? So there's things that I want to do, there's things that I do and I know I shouldn't do, but I can't. Sometimes I can't stop them. So I have my flesh, right? That's there. And then that sometimes leads to sin. The third is sin. When I give into my flesh and then that sin is there, sometimes those blocks are created, right? And a lot of times, you know what I found? It's not the sin necessarily that separates me from God, because He already did it. He took care of it. It's my guilt. It's that feeling like, oh, I'm so bad. And then a lot of it is from that guilt that I experienced as a child, that my parents told me things, right? It's like, oh, you did this, you did that. One of the most famous things that my mom used to say to me, that when I grew up, I go, that's not true. She goes, oh, what? And you call yourself a Christian and you did that? And you go, oh my gosh, you go to church on Sundays too? And I feel really shameful, right? And then when I got older, I realized, no, that's why you go to church, because you did those things, and that's why you have the Lord in your life. It's not the reason not to go to church. It's the reason to continue to stay connected to church, right? So it's just a really different paradigm in which some of us grew up. And then the third was just unbelief. Just not really believing who the Lord says He is, not believing His promises, not believing what He says about me, not believing when He says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'm with you always. So I just found unforgiveness, my flesh, my sins, and unbelief that really just a lot of times hinders that relationship I have with the Lord and being in His presence. And a lot of it is on my end. It's like, the Lord's right here. I'm for you. It's taken care of. I want to deal with it with you. But I'm kind of like, no, I got my blocks, I got my hindrances, right? I'll take care of it on my own, right? So one of the areas that was particularly difficult for me that the Lord just dealt with, which I was just so thankful for, was just growing up in a very bad relationship with my father. So I did not have great dynamics growing up as a family. You've all heard some parts of the story, right? But there was domestic violence, there was affairs. We were a Christian family. My dad was an elder. My mom sang in the choir. They planted churches in Orange County. But that was the life that we lived. And on the outside, it looked like a really good middle class family from Orange County. They divorced when I was 14, had a very bad relationship with my dad, and wanted to have nothing to do with him. So after he divorced, he moved to Taiwan, and then we stopped going to church. And then when I was 26, my dad called me out of the blue, and he said he wanted to reconcile. And then I was not a Christian. Had the foundation, all the Bible stories, but I was like, I don't want anything to do with God. And the church sucks. I hate the church, right? So through just the leading of the Holy Spirit at the time, I didn't realize, I got to reconcile with my dad. And then because of that reconciliation with that, my dad, and that sense of love that I felt from him, because when I actually went back and I spent that month with him in Taiwan, I could actually feel that he loved me and he was actually proud of me. And he wanted to make things right. And it was shortly after that, about a year later, then my heart opened to the gospel. And then the Lord sent somebody to minister to me and minister the gospel, and I was able to receive it. So I've experienced personally what that removal of blocks and hindrances has looked like, and how the Lord has done that. So for the rest of our time, what we wanted to do is we wanted to just, in small groups, ask the question. What was the I'm going to do this off memory. What was your relationship with your father like growing up? And help me fill in the gaps. What was the relationship with your father like growing up?
And is this the, in what ways does your earthly father demonstrate what you believe is the father's heart of God?
Yeah, thank you, Warren. Yes.
I got it. I was texted.
No, it's great. Thank you. Caden text. Wow, that's pretty good, Caden. Yeah, a lot of times what we find is that that block also is our perception of Father God, you know, because of the earthly representation that we have in our own fathers. So we were just hoping that in this time we have some small group discussions about your relationship with your father. Father, and in what ways that has represented for you what that relationship with Father is like. Okay, yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to like something that I sensed leading up to this. This was actually a couple of months ago about God's presence was how, in what ways was your earthly father like not present for you? You know, so sometimes your dad could have been there physically, but just emotionally checked out or didn't give attention, right? Or maybe not present for you emotionally, or not present for you to just not even being present, right? Or work, because they work so much, or each. So, you know, I think our experience of the presence of our earthly father, you know, that's, I think, inside, that's, we translate that to Father God. Right? And I think, you know, all our dads were human, so they had shortcomings. And I think, you know, in some ways, dads are meant to give their children, a picture of Father God, mm-hmm. but it's imperfect. You know, so yeah, I think that's what we wanted you to share about. It's, you know, was there ways in which your dad wasn't present for you? And okay, already blanket disclaimer, your dad did the best he could, right? Your dad, you know, he grew up with shortcomings from his dad. Your dad, he was a good, he provided. Okay, all of that, okay, yes. Okay, because I think a lot of times we don't want to talk about or dishonor our fathers. Right? But, right, it's not about that. It's about, you know, our dads are human. They had shortcomings and being honest with that so that we can, so that the Lord can address that, so that he can establish the relationship with him that he desires for us.
Thanks, Barry. Yeah. My kids tell me mine all the time. So. They're not shy about it. So we're just gonna. So Kyle, why don't you go ahead and stand there, and then Ross, you wanna join the group, and then I'll just join this group.
About 30 minutes.